5 and 7 wins, you know, it would be great to go out there because, you know, we're going to be playing some quality teams. But said they're in the middle of where they're going to play. You know, last week it was 20 out of 26 home games. So I don't know where they're at now, but they're, you know, they're having a lot of home games out there. And, you know, they're going to play some lesser competition than, you know, they're under 500 now. And I'd much rather be where we are now than where they were.
Absolutely.
We're still going to make a run.
What happened to the Rays last year? Same thing. You can't get behind these teams, whether it's the Yankees or the Red Sox, or you can't get behind the Rays either. I mean, they're going to make things hard for anybody who's going to make up six games at any point in the year. So, looking at what's happened transaction-wise in the past week, and you put up a post on it, I think, Tommy, like a day or two before that
morning.
Is it time for Joaquin Benoit to go on up? It was, and now he's here. So, you look at his bullpen now, and the bullpen really hasn't factored much. Last night it did a little bit, although it did its job, and fielding error was really the demise of the team in the loss last night. But you look at this bullpen now, and with Howell set to return soon, we hope, in 3-4 weeks. And that's the final piece, right? I mean, they've got it pretty much the way they want it now that Benoit is up.
And you know, Benoit was starting off slowly, was starting to get into the blowout game, and kind of, you know, it's his first game back. He was throwing 95 on his own. You know, his first game back, he hasn't pitched in, you know, over a year. But I think, you know, as he gets more comfortable, like, you know, back in the major leagues, he'll become, you know, a second, eighth inning guy. And, you know, I have a post up right now. It's, you know, 10:30 on Saturday about the bullpen chain. Now that we have Benoit, guys shift roles. Now you can use Balfour in the sixth or seventh inning, or you can reel in if you need him, instead of kind of waiting until the end of the game. And, you know, once JP comes in, you know, then you can be even more, you know, more as far as the whole thing is.
The starting pitching has been so good, like you said, that it really, like, I think about every individual pick of the bullpen, what's he done lately. I'm like, wait a minute, Wheeler, I can't remember Wheeler pitching this week, and I know he did, but, you know, usually he comes in some big spots, the Balfour's been a little bit, but, I mean, no one's really been tested that much, save for last night, with the way the starting pitching has been. But, and we were talking about this in the car on the way up here. There's always going to be people saying, oh, you didn't leave so-and-so in long enough. He was pitching really well. But then come later in the year, a lot of people, and some of them will be those same people, will say, oh, well, you burned out your starters, and now they're all approaching too many innings. And, I mean, when these guys are pitching as well as they are, how fine a line does Joe Madden have to walk? Is it simply pitch count? Is it leverage that you look at with the pitches they throw? Is it innings? Because, you know, you look at these guys pitching so well. I mean, last night, he went whatever it was, 7, he only threw like 80-something pitches, and sometimes Shields goes over, Garza goes over 100, but they're just going smooth as can be. I mean, it just depends.
Yeah, I think that's what the most important thing is. You know, the guy is struggling to get to 80, you know, 80 pitches. We've seen Lee Davis kind of do this, and some of his stuff, where he's, you know, pitch count is moderate, but he's struggling to hit the rims. He's working a lot of deep counts, so I think in those cases, we even saw with Price, in Chicago, he had yanked. I think even he was surprised. But, you know, he came out with about 90 but then the next time out, you know, was this past Sunday when he threw, you know, the complete deep shutout, he threw 109 big right. It's all a matter of, I think, of how the pitcher is doing. If he's laboring to get through, then it's probably time to get the fresher on, not only for the starting pitcher's sake, but, you know, so as far as winning the game, you want a fresher arm, and then you want a guy going out there fatigued and facing the lineup for the third or the fourth time. It's much better to get a fresh arm in there. So I think that's how Madden's going to play it. You know, of course, the guy like Barnes, you know, is a horse. He's able to go out, you know, upwards. So I think it's an individual basis. I don't think there's, you know, 100 pitches for everybody, and that's just the rule. I think it's just a case-by-case basis, and even a night-by-night basis with some guys.
So here's my ultimate question for you guys. Do you anticipate later in the season there being any issues with these guys as far as having gone too far and thrown too much?
Hopefully not, but...
Well, hopefully not, but what do you anticipate? I mean, it's hard to say, I know, but...
Probably not, but, you know, if that does happen, you know, the Lord's have, guys in the 8th
or 8th. Yeah, they're
not a pile of it and can come right up, you know, and start, you know, running where the guys have to get, but they have to.
And here's the other thing, too. I mean, if you look at it, the not like they were just throwing the kids away. But still, I remember everybody saying, well, why is he taking these guys out? What's he doing with Doris and Shields? And killing it. And they had Panther at the time, too. But this is why, because you have to develop strength over time, and it's graduated progression. And so this is the year now. This is the year for veterans now. We're not going to treat like babies anymore.
Well, one of the big numbers in spring training that everybody puts out goals, but the 1,000 innings, was the big goal for the rotation, having five guys throw 200 innings. Yeah. And then right now there really isn't a restriction on any of these guys. Davis working left between the minors and the majors last year, where he can go, the 200 innings. So right now, that's the goal, is to get, all five guys pitch 1,000 innings. Five guys pitching 200 innings in a rotation hasn't been done since the early 80s, but, they're going to try it. So far,
I don't think that'll happen.
I think we have a chance to have, of course, we saw the game got knocked out the first game, but I think we have a chance to definitely get two guys in Shields and Garza, because, there's room for a guy like Price and even Bailey's to finish in 175 in any area, assuming everybody else stays healthy.
So, the pitching right now, not a lot to complain about, obviously. The bullpen, not a lot to complain about. They've shortened things up since early in the season. Quite frankly, they haven't been asked to do too much with all the runs they've been scoring, but that's what I'm going to talk about as this lineup now, because I saw a stat last night, I think it was since April 22nd, something like that, and they've outscored teams they're playing by a factor of three. It was something like 120-44 or something like that. I mean, we thought they had a good lineup, but this is just unbelievable. It's like watching a softball game every night, most nights.
Yeah, I think the run differential is close to
77 this time of year. ESPN, we go to the standings, they use that in one of the columns of the run differential, and nobody else is even close to like 30, 35. The Yankees are the next closest one, and the Reds are at the 70 run differential. Only the Yankees lose by one, they don't win by 10.
And even with runs scored, I think, as of this one, we would like 10 runs ahead of the next team, just in terms of runs scored. So that's the offense and the player as well, I might mention,
So, what do you say to people then? And not that it's because you're having success means you can't be better, of course, but there's been some grumbling about Ben Zobrist in the three spot. Now, that's not working. It doesn't make any sense. And he's not a three hitter, and, he's taking spots that maybe should have been a lot more in his spots that were bigger spots, blah, 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 blah. Well, what do you say to people who are grumbling about that right now?
I think Ben Zobrist is struggling with pitch recognition, and I think he would struggle with it, with that right now, whether he was hitting third, second, fifth, ninth. Right now, there's not a certain way that pitchers pitch a three hitter. It's not like, you're in the three hole, now you're going to get these amount of pitches, and Ben Zobrist is struggling with that. No, Ben Zobrist right now is struggling with, curveballs, with changeups. So, regardless of where he's in the lineup, pitchers are pitching him, they're throwing changeups 18% of the time against him this year. So, and if you know he's going to struggle with that, and now it's magnified because of the position he's in. He's getting a lot of the bats. He's getting more high profile at bats because he's coming up in big spots because the guys in front of him are getting off. But, I think Zobrist would have these struggles right now, regardless of where he was hitting it. And I think that, it's pretty much a simple fix. Once he gets the plate recognition that he's had throughout his career, that's something that I keep, trying to hammer back. It's not like he's a notorious free swinger. The power seems like, maybe it was a little bit fluky, and I say a little bit because 27 home runs, we talked about this last week, not after that much. 18 to 20, that still seems reasonable, even if with no home runs right now, guys get hot, he can
actually get stars in the home run here.
So, that was a fluke, but getting on base was not a fluke. We talked about this last week. He's demonstrated that ability throughout his career. So once he gets the plate recognition back, he'll take his walks, he'll swing at better pitches, he'll drive, better pitches, and I think he'll be fine. Madden has been loyal, I think, when things over since it is in the three hole, and something happens.
mentions the order. And that's why I want to talk about John Jaso, because you mentioned production from the catcher position here a little while ago. And, you know, now you have the 2-game suspension. And I know they're saying, we have a week or whatever to it. And
we'll just know Miguel Lebo, I'll tell you.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about Miguel Lebo in the later in the podcast. So we'll get to that, too. But, I mean, maybe he really is hurt, maybe not, whatever. The point is, it's been Jaso's spot for the week. And all of a sudden, that's 1 week. I don't want to pour into Jaso or anything. But the guy's unbelievable. I mean, I thought his percentage was like 600 or something like that.
He did walk the other night.
Yeah, he walked the other night. And at the end, he scored 10 or 11 runs in. And he's been driving runs in. He's been scoring. He's been getting on base. So, I guess my question is, how are they going to handle the situation right now with Navarro and Jaso? And also, how are they going to handle it with Shop if he's back in the mix in a couple of months?
Well, I think right now, you know, Matt is playing the hot hand, at least what he's saying publicly, is he's just playing the hot hand. He's like, you know, this is not a slight to Navarro as far as, you know, being demoted to, you know, the backup behind Jaso. Look at the platoon splits. Jaso is a left-handed batter who has had, you know, success in the minor leagues against right-handers. We don't know if he has struggled against right-handers, and he's done better against lefties. So I think, you know, all things considered, Jaso's hot start. Navi struggles against righties, I think, for the, you know, time until Shopping gets back. I think we're going to see Jaso for the most part against righties. With Navi in there against lefties, of course, something like tonight where you have, you know, you're going to have a couple of righties in a row, and it's okay here. You're like,
right.
I don't know how
you're going to right. That's going to get close to
it. Jaso's going to play either tonight or tomorrow, and Navi's going to play the other, so, you know, that's going to happen. But Jaso's plate discipline, you know, while it's ridiculous right now, that's something he's always had. And, you know, that's a great skill to have, especially from a position where you don't have the best hitters, but anyway, you know, he can help getting on base and stuff like that. That's going to help. And, you know, I guess we'll just see, you know, where his true talent level is at right now. Of course, he's going to settle down, but, you know, I think when the dust settles, it will give him another, you know, month of playing time because we don't know really when Shopik is going to come back. The Rays, you know, this morning, I just need to turn it to a knee surgery. Think with J.P. Howell, turn it to some fatigue. He's going to take a day and, you know, a week off. Then turn it to early day, not it's late, so we never know. You know, when Shopik has a leg anymore, you know.
Yeah, and plan on needing somebody until you know more about him. But let's say that Shopik ends up being on schedule, he gets back in whatever it is, June, early June, late May. And let's say that happens. Does Andrew Freeman field some phone calls and have three struggles with catchers?
I mean, I don't know. He's starting to see his now. Send some feelers out.
It would have to be Navi.
That would be Navi. And not only in terms of, you know, being the weakest link,
he's also getting paid the most.
He's also getting paid $1 million. And he's, you know, he's arbitration eligible again. Jaso, you know, is in his first big league year, so he has years of service. Shops are signed to extension, you know, a couple of years, 3-year extension, so he's locked in. And you look at the platoon splits, Jaso against righties, and then Shop against lefties, that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty decent platoon attacker.
Now, whether or not that happens, and you know what, I love Trey Rivers installed right early for that, but various things happen that you can't foresee. Will Navi be on the team next year? I mean, they're almost. I just don't see how he'd be on the team next year. It doesn't seem like there'd be any situation, but it seems very likely that they'd find a way as long as everybody's healthy with Jaso and Shopik.
Yeah, and even if Jaso, you know, falls off and is not part of the plan, it's hard to see, you know, going into next year, us carrying two catchers that's going to make, you know, I find it surprising right now that we got two guys making $2.5 million, you know, on the teams of going into next year where Shopik is going to act a little bit more. Navi, even, you know, with the down season, is going to be at or above, you know, with the arbitration. So I find it hard to see where, next year that's going to be lower, you know, in the 50s. I find it hard to justify, you know, two catchers making that much money when the blue team split is not really even.
And see, there are ways, and this is what goes back to the money. I mean, everybody just says, oh, proper pay, don't. So it's never going to be because it's already going to clean house. Listen, there's ways to save money all over the place.
Okay,
it's not just those two guys. Wheeler isn't going to
make $1 million. Yeah, they have $1 million.
$1 million or $1 million
buyout. Another game win is not going to be a problem in Jason Bartlett.
I was just going to mention,
like, you're going to pay Jason Bartlett $7 million.
Brignac is, again, about this on my radio show. I talked about it with you guys. It's happened before. It was 2-3 years ago, I think, when he said, oh, well, 20% increase at the most next year, and there were like 37 million by then, and everybody said, oh, it's only going to be 40, oh my God. And then they ended up going up to 60, whatever million, 50 something million, and it was fine. And that was the year where the payroll was $44 million, and they still won the prize, won the pennant, won the American League. And so now that he's saying what he's saying, I mean, I'm still not convinced. Yet it's very likely one or the other, Pena or Crawford, may not be here, but I'm not.
I said both are gone.
I just don't think, no, I don't think both will be gone. I really don't. I really, I know a lot of people like to say that over and over and just say, oh, there's no way to believe me.
He likes it here.
But
you have to take a big gun pack.
Yeah. Well, you know, if only one was going to leave, I would have wanted to be nice to Crawford's
the walk.
Right now, not having him here, and I'm going to pay him.
Oh,
considerably well over the final month. It was a late game as well as we didn't make the playoffs last year.
That team was not a playoff team, and even before the Kazmir trade, I thought that was evident. Others disagreed, that's fine, but I have to say that's one of my favorite Freeman moves was the Kazmir trade. I love that move, and again, I'm sure we got Ricardo Rodriguez start going up being
Rodriguez is like Matt Sweeney is a potential first baseman down the road, for the internal. We could have a 5-6 year solution there. Alex Torres is a lefty, he could collect the lefty start. He's a top 10, arguably a top 10 prospect in the system. So, really get rid of Kazmir's $8 million salary as much as the rotation is making currently collectively. Bringing a couple pieces that are controllable for a few years. I mean, that's
Sam is not around. Watching him too is great. I hated watching him this past 2 years. It was just unbearable. It just put me in a bad mood.
Yeah, how you pick
that up. So I don't know what you're expecting.
Like our guys are pitching down, it just really never happened after the 2007 season.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but no person.
I mean, he's a good pitcher. I mean, there's still a chance that he gets over these streets where he's lights out, but again, this is what we're talking about.
Right.
Is it worth paying? Is the difference paying Kazmir over Davis worth $8 million? And right now it's not.
So don't think about this, folks. This is, I guess, the point I'm trying to make. Just enjoy the season and watch all these games. And don't just assume that I have to savor it now because you don't know what they're going to do or what they're not going to do. I know Andrew Friedman, whatever he's going to do, he's already been thinking that he's been thinking about it for years, probably.
Yeah, and there's no reason to publicly say, next year we're going to go out there and we're going to spend $30 million. Well, why? In this division, we need every competitive advantage, as far as even things that they say publicly, or guys who they, pick up in a Rule 5 draft just to keep them away from somebody else. Every move is strategically planned out.
And speaking of the opposite of that, the Ryan Howard extension happens in the past couple of weeks here, over the past week. And you want to talk about, and I'm not ripping the Phillies for it, you guys can if you want. I'm just saying there's different ways of doing things for different organizations who have different circumstances. The Reds would never do something like that, I don't think.
Well, no, we can't.
It's okay. But, that's what I'm saying. And yet, if you're in the Phillies' position where they can do something like that, does that make it an okay deal, or do you still think they made a bad deal?
It's a bad deal, but like a team like Philadelphia will probably be able to absorb if we guess wrong on the deal, even half that size, it's
perfect. Yeah.
Where were they? Okay. If Ryan Howard turns out to, move on or something, they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yeah. But still, it's worth. What's it costing? Like $25 million a year?
I'm going to be $25 million. It's going to be $25 million a year for the next. And then Longoria is going to be $21 million total.
Yeah. Is there a worry, by the way, speaking of Longoria, about him at any point, not getting a bad attitude, he's not that type of guy, but just him quietly being a little upset, he signed a contract, let's say he just goes intergalactic and just starts hitting, he just goes crazy. He's like, this sucks, man, I'm pissed off.
There will be no operation shutdown with everyone.
Miguel Olivo, a few minutes ago, but close, man. etc. Now he gets a kidney stone in the middle of the game. Now he gets it, you have it already, but he passes it. Which is surprising to me.
Most painful thing that could happen.
That's what I heard. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anybody who's even, I don't even know
yet.
Seven in the morning.
to get out of bed or even in bed with the laptop to write about it. You know, that's a little
bit. Yeah, that's what it says. I don't do anything. We have to do anything.
We pay attention to the point of what's going on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, that's what's coming up. So after these two Royals games finish up the next couple of days, a West Coast road trip for the Rays. If you want to send us any questions, comments, questions, discussion, anything like that, the email address, what is it again, guys?
drbpod@gmail.com.
Or you can go to drbpod@gmail.com. When you post the podcast, you can always put some of those comments section questions. And any suggestions there will be noted as well. If you have questions or anything like that, yeah, any suggestions, we'll try to use
them. I'll try to use them. I'll try to use them. And PCBML
right now. Right, those are the two leaders. And so, look for the podcast to be going up, I guess, for the next couple of days.
Yeah, well,
you can't look for it because you haven't heard this until it's up anyway.
That's a good point.
Never mind what I just said. So that's it. I want to thank everybody here at USF again. Mike Moreno, who is a contributor on the site, on the comments, and reads the site daily. And everybody else here at the USF Radio Station, beautiful facility, and we are excited to be using it. Tommy, Eric, you guys have a good week.
You too, buddy.
Thanks, sir. Nobody's going out of town or anything right now.
I'm going to run this
weekend.
We're in town.
So there you go. I will be out of town next week, and we'll finish up that as far as the podcast before it's out of time to do it before that or after that. But anyway, enjoy the ball games, everybody. Thanks for listening. And that is second episode of the podcast.
Yeah,
we'll see you next time.